chapter 15. Look there with me for just a few minutes here tonight. The 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. Well, as most of you know, today is my 67th birthday. You want to know how old that is? That's old. Actually, Dwight Eisenhower was president when I was born. That's how old I am. That's a long time ago. You know, you can look up online things that interesting facts about when you were born. So let me just give you a few. I just told you that Eisenhower was the president when I was born. Disneyland opened up in September of 1955, for whatever that means. The TV remote control was invented for all the lazy people the fall of 55. The microwave oven was invented in the fall of 1955. The phrase, "In God we trust," was put on our currency in 1955. So there was a few good things that happened. C.S. Lewis published his book called Chronicles of Narnia. I could go on and on and on. All kinds of important things happened in 1955. When I was born, my mother developed toxemia poisoning and almost died. It's a serious thing, but then it was extremely serious. And for days, she almost didn't survive, but God in his mercy allowed her to survive. Otherwise, I would have been raised up without my mother. And that would have been, no doubt, a completely different direction for my life. So God has been merciful. Everybody wants your life to count for something. We have sung that song, or I say we, the choir, has sang that song over the years that says, "I want my life to count for something." Here's some of the words of this song. All want their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will come to nothing. Time will erase whatever we do. I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. A guy by the name of Larry Goss, tremendous musician and gospel songwriter, wrote that song. I want my life to count for Jesus. And I think that song, it should be the testimony of every one of us. We want our life to make a difference, especially in the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, you have to ask the Lord, "Lord, make my life fruitful. Make my life fruitful." And there's some verses about this here in John 15. And I'll read a few of them. John chapter 15. "I am the true vine." That's Jesus is the true vine. "My Father is the husbandman," or he's the gardener. "Every branch," the branches are those children of God, those born of God. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." We need to let that sink way down into our hearts and be reminded again and again that without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. So in this text, we see that Jesus himself is the true vine. We need to be connected to the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener who is constantly at work dealing in our lives. And then there's the branch that bears no fruit. And there's the branch that bears more fruit. Then skipping over to verse 5, there is the branch that brings forth much fruit. And then all the way down to verse 16, there is the branch that bears fruit that remains or it lasts. And that's the kind of fruit we want to bear. We want to go from no fruit to some fruit to much fruit to fruit that will last. Amen. You know, all of us have been affected by different people over the years, and even some that have been a part of our church here. And we are today, even we still feel the effect of the fruit of their life, the fruit of their influence, the fruit of their ministry. We feel the effect of that. That's fruit that remains. It lasts. It just goes on and on and on because of it is lasting fruit because of what God has done in their life. We feel the effect of it. Even though some dear saints have been gone to heaven for a long time, we're still affected by that. Amen. One of these days, if Jesus, if he tarries and we have some, the rest of us go by way of the grave, our desire is, Lord, that when we're gone, that there'll be much fruit and there'll be more fruit and much fruit, and then fruit that will last, that just keeps on having an impact upon the lives of people. Every Christian should desire and should be seeking to have a fruitful life. Amen? We should be seeking to have a fruitful life. A fruitful life is a life that's demonstrating the character, the qualities of Jesus Christ, because we are connected to him who is the true vine. Amen. So we're drawing from him in our walk with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord. And we are dying out to ourselves and our own ambitions and our own desires. And we are connected to him. And we want to demonstrate Christ in our life. Amen. We want to have that testimony and that fruit in our life that it's obvious to people around us and all those we come in contact with that our life has been touched by Jesus Christ. And the world knows it. It's evident that we have been in contact with Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it's the will of God that you bear much fruit. Verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples," as you are a follower of Jesus. A disciple is a learner, is a person that is adhering to the teachings of the master. And that's the disciple. And you become a disciple when you are in tune with the voice of the Lord. There's a lot of voices out there today. A lot of voices. And I can rewind to back when I was younger, and they're just aware of a few sources. Even when it comes to media sources, just a very few, like networks and a very few radio stations. But now it's just everywhere. There's podcasts and there's all this different stuff. There's YouTube and you name it. I can't name it all. There's just so many sources, so many voices. So much information that's going out in our world today that it's harder and harder to stay in tune with the voice of the Master. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to do that, to bear much fruit. Amen. And in order to do that, you have to stay connected to him. That's what it says in verse 5. "I am the vine, you're the branches. You got to stay connected to the Master. You have to stay connected to Jesus. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We have to resign ourselves to the reality that there's really nothing good that we can do or we can accomplish, certainly in our own strength. It's fine to have training and education and experience, and all those things are good and worthwhile. But they're not worth much if you're not connected to Jesus. If you're not tied in to the vine and abiding in the vine. And that really, to abide in the vine, it's really just that you have just connected with Jesus through fellowship and through a relationship with the Lord. And that's done through prayer. That's done through a time with the Lord and the presence of the Lord. That's done through the Word of God and all the spiritual opportunities that God gives to us. And we just connect to Him and we disconnect from all the other things that are around us, and we abide in the vine. We need to desire to be fruitful in our life. Young people, you want your life to count for something? Then you get connected to Jesus. You make that commitment to Jesus when you are young. And I don't regret it. Now, I've certainly made more than my share of mistakes over the years, but I don't regret getting saved when I was a young person. I don't regret turning my attention to the voice of the Lord when I was a young person. I didn't understand all the things that were coming my way, but I just felt this pull, this tug of the Spirit of God upon my heart and upon my life. When all my other buddies, they were pursuing a lot of other things, none of them necessarily bad or evil things. They were just going in a lot of different directions, but there was that voice in my spirit that was saying, no, this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow this path. I want you to follow the voice of the Lord. I don't regret that. As I said, I've made plenty of blunders along the way, but I'm so thankful that I had this compelling drawing of the work of the Spirit of God that drew me to Him, and that down through the years, that's been pretty much my life, and I'm so thankful for that, and I want it to make a difference, and I think all of us should desire that. Lord, give me a life that's fruitful for the kingdom. Help me to be fruitful, to do something that's going to make a difference in the lives of people. Amen. You see, the fruit in your life, that's what your life is producing. Fruit is what's being produced, if it's on trees or vines, and it's the fruit is what was produced. What is your life producing? What's it accomplishing for the kingdom's sake? And we talk about work as the fruit of our labor. We talk about praise being the fruit of our lips. And I could go on with that, but it becomes obvious in your life that you have connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some people that you meet, you can't talk to them but just a few minutes, and sometimes it's less than minutes, a few seconds, but they don't turn the conversation to the things of God, what the Lord has done, the blessing of the Lord, or maybe something to do with their walk with the Lord or their relationship with God or something that God has spoken to their heart, because there's this fruit of their life and it pours out of their daily lifestyle. It pours out of who they are. Colossians 1 and 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. As you increase, as you get to know Him greater and you draw nearer to Him and you are tied into the vine, then you are able to make the spiritual progress and you can bear some fruit. Amen. You can bear fruit for the Lord. You know, if you've ever met someone that you say, I've met young couples before. One I'm thinking of in particular, many years ago, a young couple that was getting married, or maybe they'd just gotten married. And I remember them announcing to us, well, we don't want to ever have children. We've got other things that we want to do in our life. And when I heard that, I just thought, that sounds really selfish. Now, I understand sometimes people naturally, physically, aren't able to have children. I understand that. And I'm not pointing at that. But in most normal situations, when people get married, it's in their mind, someday, we desire to have the fruit of this union. Amen. We desire that. I believe that that's what God has placed in the hearts of people. It's just instinctive in us that we have a desire for that. I think it's an unnatural thing if someone says, you know, I don't think we really want to have. Matter of fact, the marriage that I'm thinking about, it didn't last very long. Matter of fact, maybe 2 or 3 years, and it was over with. And I don't know that that was the factor or not, but it very well could have been because they were consumed with, well, we want to just do things with ourselves, and we want to make money and have career and have all these things. But really, there should be in the desire of everyone's heart, the natural desire would be to have fruit in your family and in your household. Genesis 1 and 28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And I understand, as I said, some are not able to physically have children. Understand that. And there may be a few unique situations where maybe someone is called to a certain part of the world that where it would be dangerous for them to have children. They may decide to not take children. There's probably some unique situations. I understand that, but basically, God has put it in the hearts and the just the natural instinctive desire is to bear fruit. And so is it true of believers. Amen. There should be this desire to bear fruit. You want your life to count for the kingdom of God. You want your life to make a difference in the lives of other people. Amen. Few things about fruit. Number one, fruit is always visible. Fruit is visible. It's obvious that if you are walking with the Lord, it's visible and the world can see that God is working in your life and through your life. Amen. Remember, the world is watching. They're observing. They're always looking at you and at your life. And hopefully what they're going to see is that there is an obvious touch of God upon your life. There's no such thing as a hidden fruit in your life. It becomes real and obvious and seen by everyone. And so fruit is visible. And then fruit always reflects the character or the nature of the tree or the vine that it's connected to. Grapes come from a grape vine. Amen. Apples come from an apple tree. Our neighbor up there next to us, next to the parsonage, has a big apple tree. And he pretty much just ignores it. And I'm telling you, this year, it was absolutely loaded with apples. And they're only there on the weekends. They live in Louisville and come down here on the weekends. So we don't really see them that much, but that tree was so weighted down, and the apples were all over the ground falling. And we would see, even in the middle of the day, deer come from over in the bush somewhere over here, and we would see deer outside of our window feeding on those apples in the middle of the day. So I'm sure they were there during the night as well. When you walk up to our back steps, you could smell the aroma of the apples all over the ground, especially after the guy mowed and could chopped them all up real good. But fruit, it reflects the vine or the tree that it's come from. And that's why that if we're connected to Jesus If we're walking with the Lord and we're in fellowship with the Lord, then it's going to be obvious to the world that person is a Christian. They belong to Jesus. That person is a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. So your walk, your talk, your attitude, your lifestyle, everything about you should demonstrate Jesus Christ to the world. That's the fruit of a person who is tied into the vine. Amen. That it shows in your life. It reflects the nature, the character of the tree or the vine that you're connected to. And then fruit never exists for itself. It never exists just for itself. As a matter of fact, if fruit is left to itself like that, laying on the ground up there, then it gets sour, it gets rotten, and no one... And I didn't go out there and gather up any of the apples because I didn't want to be accused of being a thief of my neighbor's apples. But they're laying everywhere, everywhere. And the tree was weighted down with all of these apples. But fruit never exists just for itself. And if it is left to itself, then it is just rotten. It's rotten. It's foul. And that's what happens if your life is not a life that is to be an extension of Jesus Christ and a testimony of Jesus Christ to the world. The world is in need of a message and of a hope, and that comes through Jesus, and that is demonstrated in your life. Amen. By the way that you live. Amen. From our text in John chapter 15, Jesus is the true vine. The Father is the husbandman or the gardener, and every branch in me, that's the believers, that's the saved folks. You mean, does that mean that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away? Let me tell you, there is an emptiness. There is it's a sad life to be a Christian and not bear fruit. It is a sad life to live for the Lord and not bear fruit. As a matter of fact, you feel so worthless, so useless if you're not bearing fruit. It's the will of God that you bear fruit. And the most miserable Christian is the person that knows the Lord, but their life is not making a difference for Christ. You say, well, I don't know what to do. How can I be fruitful? Tie into that vine. It just comes natural. Amen. Fruit just comes. Whenever you're tied into the vine, when you're attached to the vine, then you will be fruitful. If you'll abide in him and let him abide in you, it just comes natural to bear fruit. So don't stress over it. Don't think, I'm useless, I'm miserable, I'm worthless, I don't have any value in the kingdom of God. Just get closer. Just tap into that divine source, and it will come natural for you to bear fruit in your walk with the Lord. It's a miserable existence to not be able to be a fruitful believer. Amen. All through the scripture, you see the example of different ladies who were barren. They were not able to have children. They were not physically fruitful. They couldn't have children. And you see the misery in it. The misery in it. Genesis 30, Rachel. It says that she bare Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. There was a desperation. There was a longing. There was a desire to be fruitful. Amen. And then Hannah, who was barren, she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? And then in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Here's examples of these ladies who are unable to have children, but God eventually provided for them children. Praise God. Amen. So you may feel like I'm worthless, I'm useless to the kingdom of God. Oh, not at all. Get closer to the Lord. Seek after the Lord. Draw nearer to the Lord. Let your lack of fruit be the thing that motivates you to cry out to God. Lord, I need more of you. I need the touch of God in a greater way, a greater measure in my life, because I want to be able to bear fruit in my life. Praise God. Amen. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He prunes it. Every branch that is bearing fruit, he prunes it. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? He prunes that away so that you can maximize your fruitfulness, so that you can be more fruitful than you ever could imagine. I read where there that in vineyards that they ha, that the vines will grow what they call these little sucker branches, and they would be shoots that would come off of the vine, but they would never bear fruit, and so they would suck the life of that vine into those sucker branches, and they would go and they would clip off all of those. Branches that were stealing away the life of that vine. And so the vine dresser would go in and would cut off all those sucker branches, cutting them off so that they would be able to bear optimum fruit, maximum fruit. Amen. It's kind of painful, though, whenever God deals with those areas of your life that's stealing away the touch of God, the blessing of the Lord, your fruitfulness in your life. It's pretty painful when God cleans you up. When God deals with you, when he purges you, when he prunes you, it's not very pleasant when he deals with you the way that he wants to deal with you, but you need to allow him to do it. Allow him to do the work of the Spirit in your life. Young people, there's a lot of things in this world that are not sinful, necessarily sinful, but they're certainly not necessary for you to be useful for God. And they'll steal away the very thing that God has given to you. A lot of things that are just things of this world, things that may not necessarily be evil or wicked, but if you're not careful, it'll suck the very life out of your spiritual victory. Out of your ability to be fruitful for God and for the kingdom of God. Just let him do that work in you. Let him deal with you. Let him prune away all of those things. And that's, I've told this before, but when I went to Bible school, it was like a surrender to God. I expected it to be the most horrible experience that you could ever imagine. I'd heard all about all of the rules and regulations and all the things, and I just thought, can I endure this? I just didn't know if I could ever face all of their expectations. But I remember the importance, the value, especially that first few months of just going and letting God prune away at me. Let him cut away at a lot of things that were just not necessary. Just removing things out of my life that were going to be a distraction or a hindrance, or we're going to suck the life or the victory out of my spiritual walk with the Lord. Just trim it all away so that I could connect with the Lord, so that I could draw nearer to the Lord. It says, all these branches that bear fruit, he cleans it up, he purges it so that it can bring forth more fruit. Amen. All the things that God is doing, all the ways that he's dealing with you, even if it seems unpleasant, his ultimate desire is to see you bearing more fruit. Let him work on you. Let him work on you. Let him deal with you. Let him remove things that are not necessary in your life at all. That pruning effect. Pruning away all those sucker branches. Amen. I guess everybody's had things that were sucking the life out of you, stealing away from you the things that God wants to do in your life. Let him clean you up. Let him sanctify you. Let him purge you. Let him clean you so that you can be useful in the kingdom of God. A lot of those things are draining away your potential and what God could do in your life if you wouldn't just be, if you weren't so scattered and had so many different things going on in your life. Let there be a focus and an attention about getting closer to the Lord. Amen. When I hear about some of these young people who are developing their devotional life, their prayer and in the Word, I'm so thankful because I know that God's going to use that to draw them into a place where they can be more fruitful. They can bear more fruit. Amen. And then in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You can see the progress. Amen. And I think this is, as you walk with the Lord and you grow in the things of the Lord, and you understand that we are to live a life of absolute dependence upon God. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And when you learn the lesson of absolute dependence upon the Lord, then you can begin to bear much fruit. It goes from no fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Amen. In your life. Amen. You know, certainly we want to bear fruit, but we need to remember that the emphasis should be upon, are you abiding in him? As a matter of fact, the word fruit in this chapter is used 5 times, but the word abide is used 16 times. That's really the emphasis. Amen. We all want to bear fruit, but we need to understand that that fruitful life comes from a commitment to Jesus, a drawing nearer to him, getting closer to him. And then from verse number 16, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Praise God. What an amazing promise. Amen. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you develop that fellowship with the Lord, the more that he makes your life fruitful, you get in such a close fellowship with the Lord to the place that you can just say, Lord, this is what I need. This is what we need. And you can ask anything in his name. And he's promised, I'll do it. I'll do it. But the key is tapping in to the vine. Amen. Being tied in to the vine. And then you bear fruit that will remain. And that's really the theme of what we're talking about here tonight. And that is, we all want our life to make a difference. We want our life to count for something for the kingdom's sake. And I believe that as we tie in to the vine, Jesus Christ himself, allow him to do the work in us and keep working on us, that we can have a fruit and bear fruit that will remain, that will last. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Is that the kind of life you want to live? To where you bear fruit that's going to make a difference. Even after you're gone to heaven, that the fruit just goes right on and on and on and on because of what you have done through your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, give us a fruitful life. And I just pray, Lord, tonight that everybody in this service, Lord, that they would be stirred and motivated to draw nearer to you, to get in your word, to spend more time in your presence, Lord, and to draw from that wonderful source that we have, Lord, in you. Lord, I just pray that you would stir the hearts of everyone here tonight, and Lord, that we would make that commitment to abide in you, to abide in you. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody.